you don't want to miss it. That's what I want to tell you. Boy, that banner's beautiful, isn't it? That is, whoever done that done a great job. Some folks I knew, he asked me to mention a couple experiences. I know some folks that come up from Winter Haven, Florida. They left at 4 o'clock in the morning, and when they got here, it was right at 7 o'clock on Friday. Now, that's a long drive in a bus, in a regular old bus, like, you know, those that just goes 55 miles an hour, and you got to let the windows down to get the air conditioned, but they came. Now, the good thing was I happened to be in the area over on the left and close to the front and seen this young boy go down and was, you could tell he was under conviction, and it turned out to be Mike Foster's son. And I was close enough, I overheard the conversation, and Mike was saying, but you're already saved. And he said, no, Daddy, I'd done that just to get you off my back. And he said, I really got saved tonight. And there's stories that I know of where people got saved on the way back from youth rally that drove a long ways. And a church that the young girl got up in front of the whole church. See, what they do down in that area, they drive all day on Friday. They go to services Friday night. They go to services all day Saturday. And then they get up early in the morning and head back down to Florida to get in the service Sunday night at their own church. And they let the teenagers get up and testify. Well, this one church that I know of, the girl got up, and when it was her turn, she started crying. And she was sharing about the youth rally and how good it was and how God spoke to her heart. And she started crying. She started sobbing. And she said, but Daddy, you ain't living right. And Grandpa, you and my daddy's got to quit fussing and fighting.
Amen.
And right there in front of the whole church. See, well, you didn't see that on Saturday night.
Right.
But then Sunday night, got back to that church.
Yep.
The father come up and he said, honey, I'm sorry, you're right. And Grandpa come up and he said, we've got to do better. And they all hugged, and the grandmother and the... Anyway, it was a good crying time. But see, those are some things you don't see.
That's right.
And I read in the book of Revelations where it says they opened the books and then the book of life. But I always wondered about them books, you know, and I've heard many people give me many different definitions what them other books are. But I can't help to believe, since God's the great accountant and he can keep records better than anybody in the world, that he's got a record on Shining Light Baptist Church.
Amen, no doubt.
And I believe when there's going to be, when all that's coming about, and it's going to be that Shining Light's going to have special blessings and special rewards because of what they've done for Youth Rally that's touched so many people. And I could go on and on. The couple I know in Alabama that got to come, and they drove a long ways, and the man and his wife, I can tell they maybe didn't get much out of it, but the stepdaughter did. And she's always, every time she sees me, she asks about Brother Danny, and then she says, do they still have that youth rally? Do they still have that youth rally? So we don't know. You don't know. I don't know. We all don't really know how many lives are touched.
That's right.
Through this youth,
youth
rally. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that y'all do it. I'm thankful that y'all follow Brother Danny's leadership and want to be a part and want to do your part. And somebody says, well, what about their camp meeting? I said, their camp meeting's good, but if you have a choice, go to the youth rally. If you can only go to one, go to the youth rally. And if you want to really invest some money in something good, I've seen people travel all over the United States and go to seminars and Bible conferences and things like that and don't get nothing out of it. But I say, go to youth rally.
Amen.
Go to youth rally.
Amen.
It wasn't that many years ago that I witnessed over 100 teenagers or 100 people getting saved. I don't remember how many, what year it was, but I remember I seen it and I said, you don't find that at no Bible conference.
No, you don't.
You know, you find a bunch of good food to eat and stuff like that, and a bunch of names and a bunch of hallelujahs, but you don't see a bunch of people get saved. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Youth Rally. Pray for it. Keep praying for it. Your prayers, your work that you put into that is well worth it.
Amen, brother. Y'all, I'm just
it's a heavy burden this morning. You wouldn't believe it. I hadn't felt like I feel right now for a Sunday morning service, and I don't know when. I mean, I want to just show you something here in just a minute. I am beside myself with excitement. We're going to pray. If you're behind, I can tell some of you behind, you come in here this morning, all this just hits you blindsided. You've been out in the world all week. And you're not with us. You're not with the program. And it'll leave you if you ain't careful. I encourage everybody, get in on it this morning. Get in on it. Get in on what the church is doing. Where the church is going. Be a part of everything God does. I had a guy call me the other night. And he said, from what Brother Wayne said, you can't fast 40 days and pray and work like we work for Youth Rally and God not do something. Y'all, he called me the other day and he said, Brother Danny, he said, we used to listen to you preach a long time ago, like 20 years ago. And he got out of church and he got wild and got on drugs and got all messed up. And he said, last year he was going to take his wife just on a vacation to the mountain that's coming down here. And he looked up my name. He said, I wonder what ever happened to Danny Castle. And he pulled it up and said, we was having a youth rally that weekend. And he came in, you might remember him, he came in and sat over there at the fairground and had this wild looking, dark, just jet black hair. It looked like Marilyn Manson, but it was short. And I didn't know who he was. I did not know who the man was. I said, hey, how you doing and everything. Later, come to find out, it was him. And he said he got his life right with God. His wife got saved. He went back and helped Brother Smokey and his church until just a few months ago, but they live an hour and a half away, and he is now starting a church down in Virginia. Starting a church. And that happened at last year's youth rally. There's two preachers. I can tell you story after story. There's two preachers wouldn't even speak to each other. It ain't just for a little bitty kid. Wouldn't even speak to each other a few years ago, and they both come to youth rally, and one hit the altar, and nothing got his heart broke. And they hugged and made up friends, and they've been friends ever since. I'm telling you, y'all, we've got something here. We've got a whole. I know this is what God gave me to do. There's a lot of things I can't do, but I know what God gave me to do, and it's this. It's youth rally. I don't even know what to do this morning. So just ask you to pray. We're gonna have an all night prayer meeting Friday night. Friday night, all night. We're gonna meet here at 9 o'clock, so you can go eat out, do whatever you want to. Maybe meet with some of the young people, maybe give out some flyers, and then come back and. Or go have pizza and then come back and pray. Just stay as long as you can. Friday night. Stay an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. On into about 3 to 5 in the morning. We do that every year. Jesus did it in the Bible. If you've never heard of it, it's because you've been going to the wrong kind of church. All night prayer meeting is in the Bible many times. So let's do it. Friday night. Let's sacrifice. We got a chance. Let's sacrifice. You can rest after it's over. We can relax after it's over. Don't have this attitude of, well, I ain't doing nothing. I don't care what he asked me. Get your heart right, brother. Get your heart right. Think about these kids up here. If it wasn't for our buses, they wouldn't even be in church this morning. I'm going to hush right there. Let's take up our offering in the dark so you won't know what. Just reach in there and get whatever you pull out. How's that? Amen. Do the Lord like you've been doing yourself. Come on, ushers. Let's get that over with right quick. And I'm going to show you something right quick before we have some more singing this morning. Amen. Come on, ushers. Let's all stand. We'll ask the blessings on the offering. It takes a ton of money for this, and I hope that you'll give special this morning. We got one bus sitting back out here, tore up this morning. Each fuel filler or something is choked down, and it's always something. So let's everybody, we've had several people give a special youth rally offering already, so I hope that you'll do that. Give something special above and beyond to help out, and God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. We pray that you'd bless this offering this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That we got this opportunity to see boys and girls' lives changed. Glory to God. We'll be in eternity pretty soon, Lord. Help us to get it done while we have time and redeem the time because the days are evil. Lord, help us this morning, we pray. Bless this money. Put it in the hearts of people to give, Lord, and meet the need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You by in a backslidden condition. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. All right, now I'm going to show you something. It just takes about 4 minutes. To see what you're going to see, just a little clip of what God does with and through buses. And I'm asking this morning for some new bus workers. We need some men or women who will say, you know what? I'll get my CDLs and drive a bus. Sometimes we come up short and don't even have a bus drivers. We need some ladies, and especially young ladies. We had a wedding here yesterday. Miss Dottie and Scott, they're going on their honeymoon right now. And you know where they met? At the youth rally. And Dottie got busy and got in the bus ministry. You get busy getting the bus ministry, the Lord might add you what else you need. I believe that. I believe if you take care of what God's interested in, He'll take care of what you're interested in. Seek ye first kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Scriptural, that's a scriptural belief. So, what you're going to see right now, make sure we've got plenty of volume on that one, Andy, is just a little quick look at the bus ministry, what these churches are doing and what we're doing.
Okay? Amen. All right.
Had it not been for faithful bus workers, Rudy and Linda Reyes, I never would have come to church as a seventh grade boy. I never would have gone to Christian college following high school. I never would have stayed involved in my local church following college graduation. I never would have married a preacher's daughter. And I would not be serving as a deacon at North Valley, seeking to raise our 4 children for God's glory.
I'm Chris, and I'm a bus kid.
Bus kids? Or big screens? Poor? Or popular? Evangelism or entertainment? Helpless or hipster?
I remember in fifth grade a bus worker came to this door and invited me to church.
His name was Brother Devsky, and he knocked on our door, and with a friendly smile and exciting attitude, he invited me and my family to church.
My first time on the bus was a big day called Whopper Sunday. As a result of the bus ministry, I was able to finish my high school education at North Valley Baptist School and go on to attend Bible college.
As a result of the bus ministry, I'm now a Golden State graduate alongside my wife, Celeste Ali, also a Golden State graduate.
My name is Sam, and I'm a bus kid.
My name is Anwar, and I'm a bus kid.
"14 years ago, last month, my family was homeless, and I was in jail. As the many inmates, I prayed. I told God that when and if I got out, I would take my family to church and change. 1 week later, the Justice Department mistakenly released me. The next day was Saturday, and a knock came to the home where we were living with some friends. It was the bus captain for Bus 7. I knew it was God answering my prayer from that jail cell. They asked if the kids could go, and I said only if we could come too. We came that Sunday, and soon after we were saved and joined this great church. The bus ministry does work. Praise the Lord. All 5 of my children and my wife are saved and on our way to heaven. Now we have the privilege to serve God in the bus ministry and patch clubs.
My name is Todd, and we're a bus family.
Hi, my name is Eugenio Muniz, and we are a bus family.
My name is Chris James, and I have 3 generations here at North Valley, and I'm a bus kid.
Hello, my name is Christina Puzin. This is my husband, Tom. He's the Filipino pastor here at North Valley Baptist Church, and these are my children, and I'm thankful for the bus ministry.
I am a bus kid.
I'm a bus kid.
Somebody Jesus died for. That's somebody the Lord cares about. That's somebody that's going to live forever in heaven or hell somewhere. Folks, we need to get our eyes back on souls of men and women and boys and girls. It's so easy to just get wrapped up in our job and our family and our lives and paying our bills, and we all got to do that. But if we could just get our eyes back on souls like they ought to be, God will make a difference in somebody's life. That's all that's going to matter. When it's all over with, we're in heaven. That's all that's going to matter. You know, I've had people ask me. They said, Brother Danny. Why don't you do this no more? Why don't you do that no more? And I thought, you know what? Okay, you can get our lights, y'all. I thought, I want to spend my life the very best way that I can. What's the best way to spend your life? And I'll tell you, just set yourself down and say, how can I spend my life that more people will wind up in heaven? More people wind up in heaven. That's what I'm doing. When I first got saved, we played music. We had a Christian group. We went around singing place to place and here and there. And, I started preaching. Started preaching all the time. You know, you preach all the time. You ain't gonna do a whole lot of great singing. And, this woman asked me, she said, "Danny, y'all still sing?" I said, "Nope, I'm just preaching all the time." She said, "Well, I'd rather hear singing any time as preaching." I thought, I bet you would. I said, there's either one or two things wrong with her. She ain't never heard no preaching fit to listen to, or she don't want to be rebuked. And I'm telling you, I set myself down and I said, what can I do with my life that will make the most people wind up in heaven? I believe that God let some people preach, like me. There's no doubt in my mind I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I may not do a very good job of it, but I'm hitting at it. Amen? I'm stabbing at it, doing what God wants me to do.
Now, the other people can work bus routes, and people can sing, and people can give money. God might have given you the ability just to work and make money and support. You got to have, it's like my fingers. Or I'm a hand, I'm an ear, I'm a nose. We're all different parts of the body, but it all works together. Now, I want you to look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 2 just a second. And I want to show you a verse of Scripture. It's very, very, very rare that I just shoot and hip like this on Sunday morning. But I'm just going to give you a thought or two. And we've already had some in the altar. And I believe God is working on people's hearts right now in this church. Some of you need to be bus workers. Some of you say, well, I ain't getting into all that. Take a moment. Listen, if you could get in heaven 20 years or 100,000 years and look back, you'd say, oh my goodness, why didn't I do that? That's the way to look from that side. And that's what I'm trying to do is look from eternity back and not from here. Because once we're going to heaven, once we're saved, then we want to take other people with us. Now, how many people in here today, you've had your life affected directly by the bus ministry, one way or the other? Would you raise your hand, please? I see that. Nearly half people in here this morning. Now, I want to say a few things about it this morning, and not just buses, but kids in general. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 18. Now, tonight, you want to be sure and come back tonight. Because I've got some other things I'm going to show you, and that you will be, it'll blow your mind, what I'm going to show you tonight, how kids are being taught. We're in a battle for this generation of kids. It ain't like it was when me and you, some of us, was growing up. They're being taught and programmed completely different than we were when we were growing up. Everything we were taught, at least from the establishment, was at least part biblical when we were little kids. Not now. You come tonight. I'm telling you, you won't believe what I'll show you tonight. Look at Matthew 2 and verse 18. In Ramah, this was the time when Jesus was born, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Here's Rachel. She is weeping for her sons and daughters and children, and they were killed. King Herod was having babies killed. When Jesus was born, Herod was having all the little babies, two and under, killed. And when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were doing the same thing. Pharaoh was having the babies killed. I don't know if you know this or not. We're having 4,400 per day killed in this country today. 4,400 legal killed today. Every single day. That's just the ones they know about. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach just a minute on who cares for kids. Who cares for kids? I got to think about our church. Our church is not perfect. Neither is any other church. But I thank God we've got a church that believes in running them buses and picking people up. Amen. I know so many that tried it for a while and parked their buses and quit. I know so many that thought, boy, we're going to build a big church like this, and their motive was wrong and it didn't work. I know of so many that says, well, I don't want them little snotty-nosed kids coming in here, messing up our nice, beautiful building, and never got it started. But I want to preach just for a minute on who cares for these kids. You know, I was talking to this old boy in Walmart the other day, and I was getting some paint, actually, for the youth rally. And I thought I knew him. And he said, hey, how you doing there? I said, I'm fine. How are you? And I looked at him and said, I know you. He said, I don't know. Who are you? And I joke with people, you know, and I joked and said, me and you was in jail together, wasn't we? And he said, yeah, maybe we was. I said, no, I didn't mean that. He really had been in jail. And I usually just joke and cut up with people like that. I said, man, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I said, who are you? And he told me his name. I said, I'm Danny Castle. And he said, Hank Castle said, you sell cars? And I said, no. I said, no. I'm a preacher. I said, I'm a preacher. He said, oh, yeah. Well, anyway, he had an accident or something. And we kept talking that for a minute, but I'm going to tell you what he said. It was so refreshing what this boy said. You know what? Here's what he told me. Everywhere I go, I meet people and I say, how's thing going? Well, I just don't know. I'm about had it with our church. I'm about ready to quit. And I talked to somebody over here on the other side of town. Where are you going to church at? Down here, but it ain't nothing. I talked to the guy over there. He said, I ain't getting nothing out of it. And everywhere you go, people talking bad about the church. You know what this boy said? He said, I go down here, and he named some little Baptist church down the road here. He said, it's good. He said, you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, anytime. He said, they'll let you preach. Come on. I said, no, I've already got a church. I got plenty of places to preach. He said, you come. You know what he said? He said, you'd like my church. He said, if you ever come one time, you wouldn't go nowhere else. And I said, hallelujah. Man, that's refreshing. It's refreshing to hear somebody talk good about their church. You know what? His heart was right. His heart was right. Now, we can all find something wrong with it, can't we? Sure. If I want to find something wrong with this church, I can go out here and go to a restaurant today and say, well, so-and-so claims to be right, and they wasn't even there today, and all that. Do you know what I could say? I said, glory to God, we had a bunch of kids up. God's good. And you know, look at the good part the Lord's doing, so the bad part the devil's doing. Well, anyway, I had a good conversation with him, and it was such a blessing to be able to talk to somebody that thought good about the church. And that's what we all need to do. I need to do it about you. You need to do it about me. We need to do it about our church. Thank God, Shining Light Baptist Church believes in the bus ministry. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning and say a few things and get you to help. I want to say a few things about kids. First of all, they'll keep you on your toes. One reason why I love to work with little kids, they will keep you honest, brother. And they'll keep you right, biblically right. They can ask you questions. You came out, like an old woman said one time, she was having a bunch of women from the church over, and it was hot, and it was burning hot that day, and they all started coming in and sitting down, and everybody sat down going to try to start to eat this meal. And her little girl come running in and said, hey, Mama, which one's old Miss Hypocrite? And so, you know, it's told on her, didn't you? You know what they'll do? They'll keep you honest. Let me give all you people with little kids some advice. They can repeat word for word everything you shouldn't say. You say it in front of them, they'll go to school and tell it. They'll come to the door. Mama said to tell you she wasn't here, preacher. Like that. They'll keep you honest, amen? They can figure things out of the Bible me and you could never figure out. They said, these two little boys, one time they was talking, and the teacher told them, he said, boys, I bet Noah sure did do a lot of fishing when he was on that boat. And a little boy sitting there on the front row, Noah fished a lot. He was on there for a year. I bet he fished a lot. And the little boy said, He said, why do you say that, son? He said, because he didn't have but two worms. For his mom, ain't it? See, they keep you on your toes. That's one thing I love about, I know there's something, there's a part of me that never did grow up. And there's part of me that's still about 10 or 11 years old. Leave me alone. I'm happy like that. I'm glad that I don't take myself as seriously as a lot of people. You put me in a room full of kids, 12, 13, 14, 11, I'm perfectly at ease, brother. That's my crowd right there. They ain't learned how to fake it and hypocrite like you old people have. I mean, you know how y'all can just act like everything's all right. Hey, brother, hey, yeah, hallelujah. And you're just putting on a big front. They're not like that. They'll keep you on your toes. They are so honest and right. And a reason a lot of churches don't like kids and being around is because they don't give money. They can't push you up the social ladder. I mean, these little boys and girls that come in here this morning, that's not a financial asset to our church. I'm sure you know that. I mean, we're talking thousands. I think probably $17,000 last year that we spent on running and buses and insurance and diesel fuel and all that. It's not cheap. And it's not one of those things that's financially profitable. But I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus never said nothing about everything having to be financially profitable. As a matter of fact, some of y'all need to get that through your head. Everything don't have to be financially profitable. Sometimes we're supposed to sacrifice. Sometimes we're supposed to give. And I'm a believer this morning that if the church, our church, will sacrifice and give and run them buses. You say, Brother Danny, don't you think we got too many of them? Lord, no, I'm hoping somebody will come up to me after church and say, God put it on my heart. I want to start another route. We'll start it down toward Valdez or Hickory and buy you one. Amen. That's what I'm hoping this morning. I don't want to pull back. I want to press on forward for the glory of God. I want to see more buses. I want to see more kids. You know why? Because Jesus died for every single one of them, and every one of them just as important to Him as me and you or Billy Graham or your grandma or anybody else. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black, white, little, big, fat, skinny. It don't matter, clean, dirty. Jesus loves every one of them. And you know why we believe in the bus ministry? Because the Lord loves them. Amen. Will you love them? You know the kid that acts like they won't love the least is the one that needs it the most. Some of these kids sometimes will come in and you'll try to shake her hand, they'll just walk right by you. Instead of saying, all right, you little punk, you better understand, you know what made them like that? A hard world out there. There's a hard world out there that made them kids like that. And the kid that acts the toughest and puts on a big act like, I don't know, is crying out down inside for somebody to care about them. Let me tell you something, people. The bus and the bus worker is sometimes the only refuge. You don't believe it? You come out here and go with them. You don't believe it? We can take you to houses where you pull out a piece of candy that big and they'll fight each other over it. They don't get it like a lot of kids just run in there in the kitchen and get candy anytime they want to. We need bus workers today. We don't need backslid, lazy excuse makers. But somebody that'll put their hand to the plow and not look back and say, I'll give. You know what makes me willing and wanting to go? I start thinking all God's done for me. And I start thinking how He's blessed me. And I start thinking, here I am saved. My family's saved. We're all going to heaven. I mean, here, listen, is it going to kill me to give back a little bit of time and effort and work? No, it's not. I'm willing to invest some time. I'm willing to put money out of my pocket in to help them to reach kids for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got all kinds of ideas. We could build them another building up here. We could build a place for them to have activities. I could buy more buses. I could do all kinds of things. If we have the people that'll say, yeah, preacher, we agree and we're willing to do our part and help. It's more important for one teenage boy to come to the youth rally and get what they need than it is for me to get sleep all night Friday night. Man, I don't like staying up. I do pretty good at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, then it starts getting me. I don't like it. But if it can make a difference in one person's life, one person, if it made the difference in one person's life, it'd be worth every minute we stay on that altar and we pray. I heard a story not long ago. It just tore my heart out. It won't leave my heart and my thoughts. And it was, the preacher said that there's a little girl out playing in the yard. I think she's 5 or 6 years old. And as many do these days, she was abducted. Somebody come by and saw the little girl out, and you know they'll get out with an old van and pull them up with candy or something. And there's thousands every year get picked up and abducted. That's why you can't even turn your back nowadays when you're out in public. You got kids with you. Can't go let them go to the bathroom by themselves when you're out shopping. It didn't used to be like that. There's so many perverts out there. It's unreal what's going on in the world. And we're racing to see who can get them first, the church or the devil. One of our bus routes down here, I was out on one day with some people down there at Hickory, and they got all these projects around, like apartments, like that. And some of us had these little things here, like these flyers, and we were getting them out and going to the door and knock on somebody's door and say, y'all go to church anywhere. We're from Shining Light Baptist Church in Morgan. We'd love to have you come. We have buses. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, went through all that. And I heard something. And I seen this big old car with big rims on it come down in that project. And it was all jacked up. And the windows blacked out. And here he come. And it was like the devil come riding into that apartment complex. And when he did, you could hear that music. Boom, 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 boom. You could smell it and hear it half a mile before you saw it. Down, please. And two or three people run out of this apartment, went down there, bent over, run back in the house. Pulled on around, two or three more people went down there, bent over, do a little something, transaction, go back in the house. And it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, you've never seen it no clearer, preacher. Y'all are out here, the devil's out here. And it's just whoever gets them first. It's just whoever gets them first. And the devil's working on them all week long. Well, that little girl, she was out in the yard playing and somebody grabbed her. And the mama, can you imagine? This has been several years ago, and what technology wasn't as advanced as it is now. She got a phone call from an anonymous place out of state. Said, we have your daughter. She said, where? Can you imagine? Now, I cannot imagine not even knowing where my kid was. And there are thousands of parents go through that. There's thousands of them going through it right now. Their picture's in Walmart, on a milk carton, or on the back of a truck somewhere. And they said, is this Miss So-and-so? We have your daughter. She said, you got her! And, so, and her little daughter said, Mommy! She said, are you all right, honey? And he said, we're not letting you talk to her till you put such and such amount of money, some unbelievable amount of money, and have it such and such place at such and such time. He said, she said, we don't have that kind of money. And we can't get it. He said, well, I'll let you think about it then. About a week later, they got another phone call. The voice on the other end said, we still got your daughter. And she said, please, please give my baby back. Give my baby. That's my baby. Please don't take my baby. And the voice on the other end said, we're not going to let you have it until you give us that money. You want to hear? Mommy! So she and her husband tried everything they could, and she said, look, we can't get that kind of money. We cannot. It's impossible. He said, all right. A few days later, a package came in the mail. She went to the mailbox, got the package, and opened it up. And it was her daughter's part of half her thumb. And a letter said, piece by piece, you're going to get her in the mail. And that woman, she said, we can't. They got the police involved. They don't know finally and forever what happened at the end. But they kept. Can you imagine going to the mailbox every day thinking it's a piece of your kid coming in the mail? And she never did hear from them no more. The little girl's gone. Now, folks, that's an extreme case. But I'm going to ask you a question and we're going to sing. Are you willing to pray? Jesus asked his disciples one time, could you not watch me 1 hour? 1 hour? Is that too much for us to pray an hour? We're saved. Well, the heck with everybody else. That's not supposed to be our attitude. Somebody prayed for me, buddy, and the old man got up and prayed every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's how I wound up getting saved. Somebody fasted. Somebody prayed. We got people fasting every day. He said, I don't like to fast. And he never said it's easy. He said, are you willing? Are you willing to pray? Well, you can pray at home. We're going to meet here Friday night at 9 o'clock. And we're going to lay here and we're going to beg God. Ask God to touch young people's lives. And it works. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over for 30 years doing it. It'll work. God will do it. But somebody's got to pay a price. My buddy down there in South Carolina sent me a message and said, I'm bringing 50 kids on Saturday evening. Those 50 kids have never and will probably ever, never again be in anything like our youth rally. Probably never again. Your kids. Don't say, well, now we're going to try to come Friday night and then Saturday night we got a ball game. Listen, you ain't even thinking right, man. You ain't even thinking right. This only happens once a year and probably once a lifetime. What's going to happen over there? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to give? I mean, it takes a fortune to do that thing. Are you willing to work? There's some young ladies in here this morning. You could be great bus workers. There's some men in here this morning. You could be bus drivers. I'd just say, hey, preacher, put my name down. I'm going to get involved one way or the other. Or I'm going to help send money, give them something every now and then. Well, put them on the road and care for them little boys and girls. Y'all come on, Brother Jason. They're going to sing a song this morning. This is not the way I usually do. I didn't have an outline to preach. I just had a very, very heavy heart. Very, very heavy. God may be dealing with you this morning about the bus ministry. About your own life. Maybe your own life. You say, I can't help nobody, preacher. I'm messed up myself. Tell you what they're going to do. They're going to sing that song, God Loves the Broken Ones. You know, the Lord cares about that young man that's having to go to juvenile center this week. Maybe got out there and got into some wrong crowd and got in trouble and broke in a convenience store and still got caught. The only reason me and you didn't wind up in something like that, we didn't get caught doing stupid stuff like that. There's little girls right now in Burke County, just probably about right now, waking up, not even knowing what happened to them last night, where their next needle's coming from. Right now, I'm not exaggerating. It's all over this county. There's somebody in this town right on the street where you live that thinks nobody don't care. I've told you before, I was preaching down in Florida, and we was going to have a tent revival. And on Friday night, we was going to have a big youth night. And the preacher took me out there and he said, Brother Danny, right down that way is the trailer park. And right down the road that way is the trailer park. And he said, we checked on the internet. In them two trailer parks, there's 16 registered sex offenders in them two trailer parks. 16 of them that they know about in two trailer parks. Everywhere. And the devil's got his people out there working. Mess them kids and mess their mind up. They will never be normal. In our church, I ain't much, but you're lucky and blessed to have a preacher that believes that we ought to go out and get kids and bring them to church. Amen. I ain't perfect in a lot of areas. I don't claim to be, but I'll tell you one thing. My priorities are right. And I'm interested in what he's interested in this morning. The heart of God longs for them kids. You watch them out there this morning. I don't even know how to give the invitation. If you need to do something this morning, let's stand. They're going to sing. You do what you need to do. Teenagers, boys, girls.